Okay, good morning. Try to leave it exactly where it is. Morning, welcome. Rafal, they use it as the mics. Just leave it exactly. That sounds propped. Thanks. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Good to see some faces back. So today's share is entitled Women in Parsha Zachar. Do women really have to go to shul? So I hope, Ezra Hashem, to answer that question. In fact, a lot of people saw this title. People ask me for the elevator pitch. Rabbi, tell me, does my wife have to go to shul? See, the women are standing outside already. But the truth is, right, you have to hear.
The door is closed.
Yes. You have to hear the entire share to get to that answer. At the same time, to the men here, there is a big tolelus of listening to the share this morning, because even though the share might be focused on the halacha of women and Parsha Zachar, but I believe there's general halachic principles which are very important, and this particular case is a case which illustrates those. So I think we have something for everyone. Now, Parsha Zachar, we know, is probably the most important Kriyas HaTorah of the entire year. We'll see soon, it's one of the Kriyas HaTorahs that we consider to be D'oraisa. It's a Chiv Min HaTorah to listen to it. And really, that being the case, it's, you know, unlike other weeks, where if a person happens to be away, or Chas Shalom, a person happens to be sick, and he's not able to access a Kriyas HaTorah, the way we understand that is it's a chiv on the tzibur. It's a communal chiv, not an individual chiv. And if you miss it, you miss it. This came up quite a bit during COVID, when there were weeks that people went without hearing Kriyas HaTorah. One was not in shul. And okay, there are different things Rabbanim did with that, but that's the average week. Kriyas HaTorah is, I would say, halbatzara. It's an issue, but it's not the biggest issue. Parsha Zachar is a chiyuv on everybody, on men. I'll start with men, to hear Parsha Zachar, and thus definitely something that people should try to figure out a way to be in shul, to hear it. There is an idea of a makeup. There for sure is a din of a makeup potentially when they the Parsha Zachar comes from Parshas Kisetze, the last part of Parshas Kisetze. So one technically could be Yotze Parsha Zachar in the summer. You don't have to do it specifically for Purim. There also is Shittas about hearing the Kriya on Purim morning. That's not Parsha Zachar, but that talks about a Malek. And there are some poskim that say that's okay too. Okay. But there are other important halachas of Parsha Zachar. In most shuls, they would not allow a bar mitzvah boy to lay in it, even though he's technically 13, but Parsha Zachar is something usually quite makbid on. Even the person getting the aliyah, ideally there's an idea of das, that the person getting the aliyah has to have kavana to be motzi, everybody, if you want that. So that's a big deal. I'll tell you one other interesting thing about Parsha Zachar. There is an opinion that you have to hear Parsha Zachar in your Havara. So much so, I think we're one of the unique places for Achdos is right over here in the yeshiva. The yeshiva allows for someone from a different Havara, whether it's Svardi or Temani, to lane Parsha Zachar, you know, to come up and lane it, you know, with the tzibur. And the idea being, because you have to hear it the way your minhag is, your custom. So there are years we have three different Havaras, you know, classic Ashkenazi, Svardi, and sometimes Temani.
We had five one year,
okay.
Are these
separate minyanim? They actually, in yeshiva, they would do it one after the other. Yes, right there at the parsha. But okay.
Temani.
That all comes from the fact that Parsha Zachar is this chiv d'oraisa to blot out the name of Amalek and to remember what they did to us. And therefore, we go to great lengths to make sure that we're mekayem to the fullest degree. So today's shiur, we're going to focus on, okay, but what about women? Do women really have to go to shul to hear Parsha Zachar? Is Parsha Zachar something which women have a chiyuv for? So that's what we're going to do. I must give a warning before I begin the shiur. Those here, those listening at home, what we say in the shiur today might shock you. It might be different than your what you've been accustomed to thinking is the halacha, what you might have been accustomed to doing for years, maybe even decades of one's life. But look, we're trying our best to present halacha in its purest form. And thus, you know, we're not looking to shock anybody, but this is one of those areas in halacha which might be news to many people here. So tune in. Okay, so let's start with the background. The Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Siman Tov Reish, Pei Hei, writes the following. Yesh Omrim, right in the middle of your sheets, Shaparsha Zachar, the Parsha Zachar, U Parshas Parah Aduma, and also the Parshas Parah, which we learned before, after Purim, but before Pesach, Chayovim Lekrosim Medaraisa. One has to read them, or in our case, listen to them, midaraisa. For the record, Zachar is something which everyone accepts. Parshas Parah is a shita. It's not the same length that we treat it. So Lafika b'nei yeshuvim she'en la'em minyan, people live out there in the sticks, they don't have a minyan. Tzrikim lavol u'makom she'yesh minyan b'shabbosos olo. They have to come to a place which has a minyan for these shabbosos. To listen to these parshas. That's what the Mechaber writes. Hagah, the Ramah adds, lavo, they can't come, at least they should read it. The Ramah talks about you reading it, right? L'chora, he may not be talking about reading from a Sefer Torah. He's talking about, but you should read it with the nigun, with the trop, with a chumash. Yes.
A lot of shuls have this. They'll do an extra reading either after davening or in the afternoon. There's no bracha on it, but they pull out the Torah and read it from the clock.
Okay, so we will talk about that. We will. Now, I'll read first a couple of the Mishnah Berurahs here. Mishnah Berurah and Yudalad writes, Shaparsa Zachar, the Chsiv Zachar Yisrael Shara Salacha Amalek, that's Befer, she's seen the Pasuk, you should remember what Amalek did to you. The Gemrinon, the Gemara, the High Zachar, Hadim Mimri Toch Sefer Dafka. Right? You have to do it specifically from a Sefer. One might read from this Mishnah Berurah, the idea that it has to be from a Sefer Torah, and not from a Chumash. One might. But there are other Mishnah Berurahs, maybe we'll read differently. If you skip to Mishnah Berurah and Tes Zayin, there the Mishnah Berurah talks about a very interesting Shiloh. Let's say, no, I'll use this example, but there are probably other examples. Let's say a person, unfortunately, is homebound, and he only has, let's say, he could get an aid one day to come to Shul this time of year. He could either come for Parsha Zachar or on Purim for Megillas Esther. What comes first? Okay. That's a good practical answer. Right? He said, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of Bachrim, a lot of people that go around laying Megillas Esther. I remember Alan would have on his site, you know, different options, different people. Tremendous chesed for those who know how to learn. Miguel says, my wife's grandfather used to offer in the Mishpacha, anyone who learns to lane Parshas, Megillas Esther, he'd buy them a Megillah. He wanted to encourage all the grandkids to do it, and it really does come in handy, you know, Megillas Esther, to be able to lane for people. So that's a very good answer. You know, practically, it might be easy to have someone come to your house to lane Megillah, not easy to get your Parsha Zachar. Yes?
The knee-jerk reaction would automatically be D'oraisa before the D'rabbanan.
Okay, good. So you would argue that you would think that the first thing comes is Parsha Zachar because it's D'oraisa and not Megillah, which is only a D'rabbanan. So, I believe that is one position. They bring here, Mishabura brings a Trumas Adeshen who says like you, that it's better to hear Parsha Zachar, the Mikra Megillah. But the Magen Avraham says no. Might be better than to do Mikra Megillah. He gives an argument because if you're coming to Shul anyway per morning, and you're going to hear the laning per morning of Vayavo Amalek, so you could be Yotzi with that. Now the Chavetz Chaim says, not so simple, you could be Yotzi with that. So, Pashtus, you are right, that if you have a choice between Mikra Megillah and Parsha Zachar, Parsha Zachar being a Doraisa should take precedence. That is the simple psak, I would say, for all men in the room. But tune in to the end of share, we might flip it. Now, we see Parsha Zachar's Doraisa, and we see how far you have to go versus Mikra Megillah. Now, here in the Shulchan Aruch, and later by the Mishnah Berurah, when he's talking about this topic of Parsha Zachar, you don't find any mention about women. Right? Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything. You go through the Mishnah Berurahs over here. Doesn't comment. What about women? It's funny. He left it out. You look at Mikra Megillah. It's a black and white Mechaber. We did it. Right? The Mechaber says women have to listen to Mikra Megillah. You don't find any mention of this inside the Mishnah Berurah. I did. So that would be a little funny, huh? Right? It's so clear cut, you know. He's talking about men who live out in the sticks. They should make sure to come in. So I guess he's saying, well, of course, you're going to travel with your wife. But I don't know. You know, the rest, the same way the rest of the year, it's not the same type of chiyuv. If you happen to live in a community that doesn't have a minyan, so then you don't hear Kriyas HaTorah. But for Parsha Zachar, you got to come in. Again, he doesn't say anything about women. I saw someone found, the Chavetz Chaim has a Sefer Mitzvos HaKatzer, that he goes through a list of giving basic descriptions of all 613 mitzvahs. So there, on the mitzvah of Zechiras Maisa Amalek, remembering what happened with Amalek, there the Chafetz Chaim writes that women are chayv in that. Women have to remember what Amalek did. If you look through the Chafetz Chaim's list of mitzvos, when it comes to Zechiras, Maisa, Amalek, he says women are mechayv in that. However, again, firstly, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring anything about Parsha Zachar. Secondly, and this I saw Beferish, the Kaf HaChaim, when Big Sephardi Post can bring down, he says there's no connection between necessarily the mitzvah of Zechiras Maisa Amalek and Kriyas Parsha Zachar. It could be women are chayiv in Zechiras Maisa Amalek. They have to remember what happened with Amalek, right? They have to remember what happened with Miriam, that she got Saras for speaking Lashon Hara. They have to remember there are many Zechiros that people have to remember. That doesn't mean they have to do the Kriya. So the Kaf HaChaim says the two separate things. So, again, in the original halakhic literature from the Chafetz Chaim, Mishavura, you don't find any mention. Okay? So where does this come from? Women hearing Parsha Zachar. Where is it? No, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. Not in the Mishnah Berurah. Took it on themselves. So let me go through what I think is the halachic background. Now, one might say, what type of mitzvah is Parsha Zachar? Is it a time-oriented mitzvah or not? People at first glance might think, of course Parsha Zachar is time-oriented. Every year, the week before Purim, we lay in Shul Parsha Zachar. So isn't that time-oriented? No. First of all, that could be any time in the, you know, on the calendar, right? This year happens to be a leap year, so Parsha Zachar is pretty late. You know, there's no specific Parsha you lay in it with, right? It's usually Parsha Tzitzaveh. But this week, this year, it's going to be Parsha Vayikra. Right, it's not tied to any specific date, right? And that Shabbos could be anywhere within Adar before, you know, Purim. Additionally, as we mentioned, you could do Yotzei the Kriya of Parsha Zachar. Moshe has a whole tshuva about it, Beferish. You could be Yotzei in Parsha's Kisetze in the summer. Again, nothing to do. You're not tied down to doing this mitzvah this coming Shabbos. You could do it in the summer. There's a makeup. So that's not a time-oriented mitzvah, which by definition means simply it's not that women have to accept it upon them. One might think, if you view it like that, it's not a time-oriented mitzvah. So then women are chayiv in it. Women are chayiv in all non-time-oriented mitzvahs. One would think. Yeah, but I'm not even sure that's called Tashlumim, right? It's bringing up is Ramosha's idea that you could hear in Parshas Kisetze. I'm not even sure really, I might have used the words as a makeup, but I'm just being practical that if you didn't do it now, you could do it again then. But really, it's a Kriya. You know, the Minog is do it before Purim, but it's not really related to any point in the year. Yes.
Isn't there an obligation to remember it every day?
So I'm not sure it's one of the Sheish
Zechiros. It's not reading the Kriya from
right.
The clock, but it's...
Yeah, okay, I'm not sure.
What is it?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't really talk about Molly, we talk about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. But... So where does this come from? So again, people are arguing, hey, to begin with, it's not time-oriented, okay? But there's a big pushback against that. The Sefer HaChinuch, which I quoted it here in the middle of the page, in Mitzvah Tav Reish Gimel. Sefer HaChinuch is a Rishon, famous Sefer, of soul rabbis have the minhag to give it to bar mitzvah boys on their bar mitzvah. In fact, the fascinating thing about the Sefer HaChinuch is that is the whole nature of the Sefer itself. I believe the author wrote it for his child's bar mitzvah, for him to know about mitzvahs, gave a basic synopsis of mitzvahs and reasonings, quote unquote, for them. So in this mitzvah, Tav Reish Gimel, 603, only 10 left. So he writes that there's absolutely no chiv on women when it comes to Parshas Zachar. Women are not responsible for the mitzvah of chiyuv of Parsha Zachar. What's the reasoning behind that? So he says that's because the part of the whole idea of remembering what Amalek did to them is we have a mitzvah, timcha zecher Amalek. Wipe out Amalek. It's a mitzvah. We got to wipe them out, right? Go through Navi. You know, that mitzvah has come up through the ages. And therefore, reminds me of a funny story. And therefore, the mitzvah to go to war, in Jewish understanding, the men go to war, but not women. Since the mitzvah to go to war is only on men, not on women, and that's the underlying basis, the Sefer HaKenach says, for the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek, so that's why women are not going to be chayiv. Since women are not soldiers, they don't go to war, that's it. Yes, I'll leave Israeli politics, but I got to tell you a good story. Just reminded me. I wasn't there, but the legend has it, you know, back in the day, a certain yeshiva in Queens had some problems with shkatzim, that there'd be fights. Gentiles would start up with the Jew boys, you know, on the basketball court or stam harassment. And, you know, there used to be fights. Used to be some, you know, pretty nasty ones. So one time there was a melee going on. So like the important thing is, anytime, you know, we have a brotherhood, anytime someone got into trouble, you used to run back into the base medrash and call a chapsim, you know, ask for help, and guys would pile out of the base medrash. So there's a story of one time there was a fight going on, and Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva guys were holding their own. No, this happened in New York. So there was a fight going on in right by yeshiva. So there was this older man, the most like evil person in yeshiva. Like, you know, skinny fella, you know, would sit and learn, daven the long shema asrei. You know, amazing person. But yeah. So when he heard there was a fight, he came out. I think the story was that the guy was already like on the ground. He goes, "Hanani mulchanu mazumin l'kayim timcha zecha amalek," and wallops the guy. True story. Thought, yeah, I'm not sure that fulfills the mitzvah, but it definitely makes for good perm shtek. We're in Adar. But, yeah, I do believe, they do say the legend, this guy, before he got to yeshiva, was actually on the Golden Gloves, you know, this boxing tournament in New York.
There's an exemption for going to the army the first year, certain cases.
Mm.
So that person still
so, have to... So, excellent point. Harvey, you're mechaven to the Minchas Chenach. The Minchas Chenach was a sefer written primarily on the Sefer HaChenach. It's an Achron. And he asked that question. The halacha is by a Mochemetz mitzvah. We say that everyone has to go out to war. Afilu chasim v'kal mechu pasim. Even a chasim and a kal would have to go out. So firstly, that seems there is room for women, you know, at war. Now, Lemaisa, I saw Achronim answer that what that means is it doesn't mean the women will be fighting the war. Women will be doing support jobs on the battlefield, but not necessarily the fighting.
Have a wine and cheese.
I don't know that, but they would work. There's many, many needs in the battlefront, so there would be non-combative roles. And the Sefer HaChinuch's understanding is in order to be chayiv in this mitzvah of Kriyas Parsha Zachar, it has to be totally on the combative roles of Timcha Zecher Amalek. They have to be the ones throwing the punches. So if they're not doing that, they wouldn't be chayiv. So you see from the Sefer HaChinuch, that's a strong basis that granted it's not time-oriented, this mitzvah, but women still would have, I'll say, even more than an exemption. They're not part of the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is limited to people who go to war, Sefer HaChinuch said, it's not women. So the starting point right now is women should not have a chiyuv whatsoever of Parsha Zachar. If you go like the Sefer HaChinuch, there shouldn't be any chiyuv whatsoever for women. Okay, so why is there a big crowd outside of every shul come Parsha Zachar? Don't tell me it's just because there's a big kiddush. We know that women are coming for Parsha Zachar. We know not only are they coming during davening, I'll get to soon, they usually are, many shuls have a quote-unquote second laning. We'll talk about that. But right now, if you pause the share right here, Sefer HaChinuch says, Beferish, there is no chiyuv whatsoever for women. But if you, the earliest source I found is only in the Achronim. Where do women come about going to shul for Parsha Zachar? The earliest source is Rav Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, and it seems like his Talmud, the Chassam Sofer, took the same position. Both of them talk about an idea of a chiyuv for women to go. And I, the Sefer HaChinuch, talked about that only men fight in the war, not women. So I believe the alternative argument is that who says those two mitzvahs are tied together? Sefer HaChinuch is saying that. But it's not necessarily. Maybe there's a din of Zechira separate from the din of Machama. They're not two interconnected points. And even though women do not fight the wars, that there's a consensus, but they still would have to remember it. And that is what Rav Nosson Adler ruled, and the Chassam Sofer, his Talmud followed that. Now, the Chassam Sofer was very big in Hungary. And Mestama, that's where I would say probably a certain strong segment of Jews that are alive post-Holocaust come from. And therefore, okay, that could be a basis for where they come. I found similarly the Maharal Diskin, Beshua Lev Diskin, who lived in the early Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, also took the same position. So you have Rav Nosson Adler, the Chassam Sofer, Maharal Diskin, those are three major figures in the Jewish world that took a position that no, women are chayiv in Parsha Zachar. Zechira and Milchama are not connected like the Sefer HaChinuch said. I believe I found this, traced it in the Sefer, and someone told me they heard this too. I don't know anyone here has direct connections, but I heard in Germany and till this day in Washington Heights, women are instructed to come to shul for Parsha Zachar, and the German Kehillah also takes that as a chiyuv, that women should hear Parsha Zachar. So that's, I believe, the background why there are many that take a position that, okay, women should hear Parsha Zachar. Even though the Sefer HaChinuch Rishon clearly writes not, but they take a position, okay, who says war and remembering Amalek are two things tied together? They're separate. On the other side of the equation, maybe the equator too, but in the city of Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish ruled, and this was transmitted by his nephew, Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, that Chazon Ish held as absolutely no chiyuv for women. Huh? Well, he was being machmer on women not coming to shul. But the Chazon Ish, Chaim Kanievsky, Kulitz says, no, there's absolutely no chiv for women. No such thing. What? Question where to put this, but I'll put it right after that. My Rosh Hashiva, Reb Henoch Leibowitz's first Rebbetzin, Reb Peshel Leibowitz, Alah Shalom, was the granddaughter of Rev Naftali Trupp, the Rosh Hashiva in Rodden. She grew up in a house steeped in what you call the Litvish Yeshiva culture. And she was quite a person. She, understood things quite well. And I remember clearly this point that she would say, Litta, no women went to shul for Parshas Zohar. Nobody. No chiyuv, no one went to shul. Very, very strongly gave over what she remembers growing up in Lithuania. And I saw brought in Svarim, Rav David Feinstein quotes the same thing. That he knows that, even though Rav David Feinstein was born in Russia, but he knew of this idea that in Lithuania, in the yeshiva world, no women went to shul for Parshas Zohar. Absolutely
about,
not.
What about in general? They go to shul.
Oh, that could be also.
Yeah.
But Parshas Zohar was no different. You know, here you can find people that, you know, normally can't make it, don't make it to the shul on the regular Shabbos, but Parshas Zohar, everyone does. But they say very strongly that there's absolutely no chiyuv. So we see really there's, I would say, two camps. There are those that take this position that there is a chiyuv. But the pashtus, you start up from the Rishonim, you start from the Sefer HaChinuch, and you look through the ages, for the most part, it seems throughout Lithuania and outside of different kehilos, people did not, women did not go to shul for Parshas Zohar. Pashas, there's no chiyuv. I look through different svarim of Rav Moshe. These are all svarim quoting Rav Moshe. And that itself, I found a little discrepancies. What exactly was Rav Moshe Feinstein's position? And that probably also adds to the uncertainty or lack of clarity or confusion with this topic. The famous Dirshu Mishabura quotes Rav Moshe from some random sefer of halachos for Abbas Yisrael. Says, oh, that Rav Moshe said women should go to shul. In Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's sefer on halachos, they bring from Rav Forsheimer, who's a big poskim today in Lakewood, that he says he heard beferish from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe told him that there's absolutely no chiyuv for women. First glance, it seems contradictory. What did Rav Moshe say? Is there a chiyuv or not a chiyuv? It could be Rav Moshe said in between. Moshe held there's no chiyuv. But, you know, a person wants to go, you know, maybe they should go, they want to go. I found another language in Rav Moshe's grandson records in the Sefer Mesoros Moshe that he says they're not really makbid for women to hear Parshas Zohar. That was the language. I'm not sure what that means. Not really makbid. Is it a chiyuv or not a chiyuv?
It's a definite.
Yeah. A definite maybe.
You're not
hyped to stop them from going. I'm not sure about that one. So that's where it gets a little tricky. You know, Furshimer says he heard it straight from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said there is no chiyuv for women. Now, that sounds like personally what he held.
To go or to hear?
Huh?
To go or
to the
or even
Zahira. Right. There's no chiyuv for women to hear Parshas Zohar. That's what he quotes. But at the same time, you know, there's some ambiguity, you know, not so clear. Okay, but should they go, should they not go? So that's where it gets tricky. So if, you know, is a shaila, should you stop women from going? Yeah, I don't know. That would be too big of a chiddush to say in today's share. A woman who wants to go, do you stop them from going? No, you know. You want to go to shul? You want to do this? But here's where it gets a little tricky. Obviously, everything in life has to be balanced, you know. Your wife's at home, but she's also caring for her mother. Your wife's at home, she's caring for her children. How do you weigh those things? Parshas Zohar, everyone's going to the kol. Time out. Hold on. Is there a chiyuv or is there no chiyuv? Right? Once you start balancing other responsibilities, not so pashut. Right? What I would say is if there's some other pressing, need that the woman needs to do, tend to, then they do not need to go. And I'll show in a second, even if they stay home and you want to be yotze, there's ways to do it from home. But if everything is equal and they go to shul every week, so okay, you're not going to tell them to stay home, Parsha Zachar. But to make a special effort for Parsha Zachar, okay, I'm not sure that's the area you should get into a fight with your wife over. But let me now go to a couple other areas. In many shuls, it's common to have a laning for women. What that means is after davening is finished, they'll go to the Aron, they'll take out the Sefer Torah, they'll put it on the Bima, and they'll lane Parsha Zachar again. Sometimes they'll do it after the end of Musaf, sometimes they'll do it before Mincha, all different things. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted Beferish saying that one should absolutely not do that. What right do you have to take out the Sefer Torah to lane to women? Nowhere is there an idea of laning Torah specifically for women. If there are 10 men there, ideally that means 6 men who didn't hear the Kriya, so you're doing it for them, and there's a minion of 10 around, okay, that's a different story. But to take out a Sefer Torah and just to lane for women, Moshe says you shouldn't do that. It's bizarre. It's wrong. Uh-oh. Now, I saw similarly where Yosef said the same thing and said, if you're going to make a separate laning for women, you should be makbit to have 10 men there. Now, I wonder, look in the shuls, we have a couple gabayim here, right? Is that done when they lane the second? So for the home audience, they're answering no. Well, I refer them to, now this is not in the Igros Moshe, so maybe it's not as well known, but this psak is in print for decades. There's a Sefer Yisodi Yeshurin from Rafelder from, I believe, Toronto, quoting Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe said you should not, do such a thing. I know of cases of Rabbanim allowing for that. I've heard of cases even for individual people. But Rav Moshe will say it's definitely, definitely not Pashut. Huh? No. Absolutely no bracha, no that. In terms of alternative ways, okay, so what that really means, if a woman is going to hear Parsha Zachar, then the way to do it is to come on time to shul and to hear the laning in shul. There's other minyanim, Rav Moshe was against it. Now, I spoke last night with a posek who happens also to be a Bal Kore, and he told me where he was davening years ago, they had a separate minyan for women after davening. And he said, although he never turns down people ask him to lane, he said he refused to lane. They would ask him, can you lane for this minyan? He would refuse. So he felt it was wrong. There's no, the whole chiv of women to begin with is quite debatable, if not a minority opinion. And to take out a Sefer Torah just for that is it's not the right thing to do. So he would refuse to be part of it. I saw then this morning, I came across this other Rav Felder's Sefer. He says, look, for the Gabbai or for the Bal Kore, he shouldn't be involved in such a thing. The same position he took. He says, but once they're having a minyan, there's nothing wrong with a woman to go. I'm not sure I would say the same position. Doesn't sound so poshut. You know, granted, the Balkore and the Gabai are the ones taking the responsibility. They're taking out the Sefer Torah. They're laning the Sefer Torah. But if it's not the right thing to do, it's not the right thing to do. You shouldn't do it. You're not looking to do things, you know, just because everyone else is doing it, or somehow this became, you know, unfortunately, in the world today, it's hard to see what stems from, you know, quote unquote, the right reasons to do things. Or in general, there are, you know, different movements that push, you know, more different, yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's like taking and schlepping it.
Yeah. Sefer Torah is a very, very sacred, you know, what's more sacred than the Sefer Torah we have? We don't have a Mishkan, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you know, Sefer Torah. I guess the other answer is a Talmud Chacham. But we do Bizyonos a Talmud Chacham too. But that doesn't make it right. But you got to be careful with the Sefer Torah. And Rav Moshe said you shouldn't just take it out just to lane for women. If there aren't, you could designate 10 people to, you know, the latecomers, you know, gather them together. Okay, we're in the lanes second time. Do this. But
if you have six men who haven't heard Torah reading yet, you really need to read the whole thing, not just Torah.
Okay, true. But, you know, the minimum, the Chiv of Zohar, it's three psukim, you know. You could, it could be an aliyah. Two more interesting halachas I'd like to share. For those who want for women to be yotze, to do the mitzvah, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky writes this, and I saw others bring this, that, you know, where you can't have a Sefer Torah in these situations, again, woman's not going to shul, or not participating in a separate women's laning, you could read Parsha Zohar straight up from a Chumash. That is what Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky gives as an Eitzah, for women, you know, I would like to see for an absolutely homebound person in the hospital, for a male, would he say the same thing? I'm not quoting that. I'm quoting for women. He's saying you want to just read from a chumash, that's okay. One last halacha, and this one I think is will tie everything together. So for those who are waiting for the final word, you know, from the beginning of the share, do women really have to go to shul for Parsha Zohar? The simple answer is no. Women really don't have to go to shul for Parsha Zohar. For the most part, it's very unclear if there is a chiyuv. Seems most posts can take the position there isn't a chiyuv. Okay? If you happen to come from Minhagei Chasam Sofer, Nosson Adler, the Yekesha community, maybe some Hasidish communities, maybe that stems from the Chasam Sofer, they have a minhag to go. Okay? But outside of that, if you're just going because everyone else is going, no such chiyuv, no such thing. But people are going to come ask me, but Rabbi, my wife has gone for the past 20 years. She hasn't missed the Parsha Zohar. Isn't that now like a neder? That's something, that's a chazakah. That's something you've been doing for years and years. So she should continue going, right? Even though she's a kid at home or parent or this or that. So Zohar David Feinstein, and this I have on the bottom of your sheets. I'll read it inside. Hevi O Me'agon Reb David Zatzal. Shekiva Shemi Ikara Din Nashim Ina Mukhiyam Lelach Basic Nasa Shema Parsha Zohar. Since me Ikara Din, again, Reb David Feinstein, right, taking that position like his father, there's no chiv for women to hear Parsha Zohar. Chin Av Isha Nazaras Kol Chayel Lashmo Zohar Basic Nasa. Her entire life, she went to Shul to hear Parsha Zohar. They never heard the Sunday morning share. They never knew that the din is otherwise. Eino zeh toras neder. This doesn't have the halacha of a vow. Did neder betols who? It was a vow made in mistake. Vim irish apam koshal aleil chabetzak neder shema kriya. Eino tzricha ataras nedarim. You don't need to be matar neder. Rav David Feinstein takes such a position that she's been going her whole life. Okay, but it was a mistake. There's no chiyuv for women to go. And therefore, the fact she did it all her life does not affect that she has to continue doing it. So to me, the takeaway from the share, which goes beyond women in Parsha Zohar, is there are things within our, I would say, halachic vocabulary, things we might be accustomed to doing, things you might get crowds of people to do, but there may not be a strong basis in halacha for people doing that. And we know we live in a busy world, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of pressure on us to begin with to serve Hashem and to do all the mitzvahs we have to do. You know, it might be wise to put our efforts, you know, women are cleaning for Pesach. Okay, we can talk about that maybe another week, how much they have to clean. But the poor woman who's already cleaning for Pesach and is exhausted, this is one thing she might be able to take off her list of things to do. Sleep late, Shabbos, Parsha Zachar. But thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Have a wonderful week.